right. Well, when you hear that music, you know it's time for us to take a look at the Psalms. And today we're going to take a look at the second part of Psalm 9. A few weeks ago, we looked at the first 11 verses of Psalm 9. And Psalm 9's long, so we had to break it up into two parts. Today we're looking at the second part, Psalm 9, verses 12 to 21. And we're using the Revised Grail Psalms that have been approved for use in the church in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass that were compiled by the Benedictine monks of Conception Abbey. And so the prescript for Psalm 9 says, "For the choir master, in the manner of a chant mutlaban," which in Hebrew means to die for the son, "a psalm of David." So David wrote the psalm. He gave it to the choir master to put music to, and he wanted it to sound like the chant of with kind of this tune, mutlaban, right? To die for the son. And so we start at verse 12. "Sing psalms to the Lord who dwells in Zion," right? So Zion is, so Jerusalem is Zion. So the earthly name for Jerusalem is Jerusalem, the city of David. The heavenly or the spiritual name of Jerusalem is Zion, right? "Tell his mighty works among the peoples, for the avenger of blood has remembered them, has not forgotten the cry of the poor." So when we talk about revenge or punishment, see, and we talk about the death penalty, actually, we make a distinction between revenge and retributive justice, right? So the death penalty should not be treated as revenge for a wrong that was done. Why? Because God himself is the avenger of blood. God himself is the one who exercises that kind of justice. But we're supposed to exercise is retributive justice, right? So the person who hurt us or committed a crime receives justice for that crime, but does not necessarily mean taking their life. So this is an issue that comes up that we have to remember that God is the one who ultimately avenges any wrong that was done, and maybe not in the way that we expect, but God is ultimately the great God of justice. He has not forgotten the cry of the poor. So again, sometimes we have to be patient and wait on God, because again, God works in his time, and God's timing is always perfect. Verse 14, "Have mercy on me, O Lord. See how I suffer from my foes. You who raised me from the gates of death, that I may recount all your praise at the gates of daughter Zion and rejoice in your salvation." Right? So we ask the Lord to have mercy on us, to look upon us in our suffering, and with the hope that he is going to raise me from the gates of death. You know, that he, even in our darkest hours, that he's with us. So that, why? That we can recount all his praise, right? So we can bear witness to the power of God's love working in our lives. But this should happen not only in moments of trial, not only in those times of darkness, but even in those times of joy and light, that we should be reflecting the beauty of God's love and God's mercy working in us. "The nations have fallen in the pit which they made. Their feet have been caught in the snare they laid. The Lord has revealed himself, has given judgment. The wicked are snared by the work of their own hands." Right? So even though it may look like people who are doing evil are succeeding, are receiving the privileges that this world has to offer. Remember, who's running this world? It's the world, the flesh, and the devil. We should be looking, our eyes should be, and our hearts should be looking upward, should be looking up toward God, up toward our ultimate end. St. Thomas Aquinas called the sonum bonum, the greatest good, life with God forever. And the earth he has given to men. And so a lot of these power trips and control and things that we're seeing are really maybe even people cooperating with the devil. Our job is to infuse Christ and our faith into the culture. And we're doing battle against the forces of evil as we're trying to do that. But ultimately, there, like it says, the wicked are snared by the work of their own hands. You know, like produces like. And so their whole thinking is going to implode on itself eventually, because the triumph is not in evil. The triumph is the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, I've heard a pastor one time say, you know, a lot of times we give the devil more credit than he deserves. And, you know, we've heard the phrase, or maybe even said ourselves, well, the devil made me do it, you know, whether we're joking or not. But a lot of times I think I've realized that, you know, I'm just as equally evil because of my habits and hangups, or just the fleshly things that I am so easily conducted of. So that's why I need God to help me process and act accordingly. What do you think about that?
Yeah, exactly right. And one of the things that in the movie that the demon was saying was that kind of the first way in is through temptation. You know, not necessarily saying that the demons are tempting us, but because we're still dealing with concupiscence, right? We're still dealing with the effects of original sin and concupiscence, that those things within us as a result of free will, that we freely choose that which is not of God. And that is kind of, again, it's not, you can't necessarily blame the devil or demons for that, but when we give into the temptation, right, and when we turn our back against God's love, you know, that sets us on a path or in a direction to open ourselves more to evil. And that's why the carpenter gave us the sacrament of reconciliation, you know, which is a beautiful sacrament of God's love and mercy. So we can always come back when we've kind of moved away from his love. He always gives us the avenue to come back, which is absolutely beautiful. And just to finish this off, the wicked go down to the grave, all the nations forgetful of God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten, nor the hopes of the poor ever perish. Now, not just the poor, physical poor, but the poor in spirit. And finally, arise, O Lord, let human strength not prevail. Let the nations be judged before you. Strike them with terror, O Lord. Let the nations know they are but men. All right? So our ultimate end is not in ourselves, but in fulfillment with the will of God.
For more on the Soulful Psalms with Deacon Harold Berg Sivers, check out Beacon of Truth weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio and streaming everywhere you listen to podcasts.